B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid ass. T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Hey, Danny, is this season a failure if you do not, if the Celtics don't make it to the NBA Finals?
I always hate those kind of questions.
I don't know. You know Giannis?
I mean,
no
like,
Kawhi,
it,
you know,
like,
no,
it, like,
no Durant?
Like, it depends. Like, I know, but it depends. It certainly has not been a failure up to this point, in my opinion. I think that, we'd be a really, really good Toronto team. And I do believe that we are at least equals, if not better, than Miami. It's disappointing that we're behind 3-1 right now, but the season's not over. And so we'll see how these last few games going. But, like last night was a disappointing game. I mean, that's as far as I'll go.
And that's where we'll start. You'll hear a lot of Danny Ainge throughout the course of the afternoon. He had an excellent interview, I thought, with Toucher and Rich this morning, where I think they asked him all the pertinent questions, and Danny addressed it, and so you'll be hearing a lot from that interview. If you want to hear the whole thing, just catch it online, 98.5thesportshub.com or the app. It's where you can catch Felger and Maz every single day on the stream as well. We're presented to you by DraftKings, both here on 98.5 The Sports Hub and the simulcast on NBC Sports Boston, where we broadcast across New England and the country. We start and spend the most of the day on the Celtics, and let's start with that question. If they don't reach the NBA Finals, if they do go down here to the Miami Heat, as it looks as if they will, Maz, is that a failure?
I mean, to me, if they go down like this, it is. I don't know any other way to say it. I told you from the beginning, I thought the series was a coin flip. They're down 3-1. They're down 3-1. And I don't know that many people have much faith now going into Game 5. So they get wiped out in 5 games by Miami, a team that, again, they are at least... maybe it's Max. I told you, I think it's a dead heat. I thought it was going 7.
Just use Danny's own assessment. Danny says we're as good, if not better, than Miami. And if you lose in 5 games or lose, period, that's not a failure. No, that's a failure.
It's a failure.
Yeah, I put a special emphasis on the 5 games and where they are right now. This series should not be 3-1. This series should not be 3-1. So I told you 7. Okay, I told you 7, which means that it's nip and tuck the whole way. This hasn't been nip and tuck the whole way. This hasn't been that. Miami won the first 2, you won the third one, then they push you back again. Now you're down 3-1, you're chasing. Miami's really been in control of the series, maybe not the individual games, but the series from the beginning. I just think, and the way the Celtics are losing, crapping their pants at the end, making some of the passes that they made last night. There was one in particular that stuck out to me. I think it was Hayward. Of all people, who passed it right to Iguodala.
Oh, I thought you bought the one. I thought
the pass from Smart to that, Hayward's feet.
That he chucked off his knee.
Oh, he was such a klutz there. That was what are you doing?
That's
dude?
What I thought you were talking about. The one to Iguodala was nice as well.
Oh, my gosh, was that horrendous. Like, what? Where? Who are you trying to pass it to? You passed it right to him. So I just look at that and say, you got me. I don't know what the hell has happened to them. I mean, I have no idea. They're crapping their pants or they just can't play. They're overthinking. It's in their heads. Like, it's apparent with the way they're out there on the floor. This should not be as one-sided as it has been on the series scoreboard.
Or do they just not have the heart and balls or will to be where they should in this series, that they're losing that battle?
Well, going back to it, the hope is that they're just too young and too immature, and maybe they need this. They need to lose this series and lose games like they have in this series so that it's a learning experience so they can grow from it. That's what you hope. The bad thing is that they could just be tight and they could get in these moments and crap their pants every single time. And it's just been really one series, and you had some spots of that in the Toronto series too, but it's extremely concerning. And it is a failure if they lose this series. It is, because they're more talented. Seeding alone, they're the higher seed. It's a failure if they lose to the Miami Heat in this series, even if it goes 7.
I mean, to me, I don't know anywhere else to settle, but they don't have the nerve. I think that's what it is. They don't have the nerve.
So you hope that comes down to immaturity. Otherwise, if that's inherent in them, well, that's never going to be fixed.
I mean, when you have players like they have, and you missed some of the shots that they missed. And look, the first half was ugly on both sides, okay? I mean, it was an ugly half.
That layoff was the worst thing for both teams.
But even so, then you get some open shots. You got to make them. You got to make them. You got to knock those down. And, like, you could see it. Like, they were squeezing too hard. I think they don't. I don't think they have the nerve. I don't.
Okay. Will they ever? The look on Jason Tatum's face in that game, in the first half, and before he got going, but I've still never seen him look like Jimmy Butler's looked. And by the way, Jimmy Butler sucked last night too. But I don't know. Is Jaylen Brown the way he looked, that glassy-eyed, half there look on his face to begin that game last night?
Tatum or Brown? You just said Brown.
I meant Jason Tatum. Okay. I'm sorry. Jason Tatum. What? Is that youth? What is that?
I don't know.
What is that?
I don't know. Because, look, at times, you know, you see them make plays that they make with authority. It's just not consistent. And, I think that this is what happens to a team that doesn't have nerve when they get pushback. And then all of a sudden they start to question themselves and they're not quite as confident as they think they are and they rattle.
Is it a failure if they don't go to the NBA Finals? Yes, yes, yes. A categorical yes. Your thoughts on that? 617-779-0985. Who do you blame? Who do you blame, Murray, for where they're at right now? You can go GM, you can go coach, you can go players.
After last night, I'm gonna go after Danny Ainge. I don't know how you look at last night and that performance by Tyler Hero and his 37 points, and he was the best player on the floor for both teams last night, and not look at Danny Ainge and say, why do you need those picks? Why do you covet those stupid draft picks so much? Why?
So what you're saying here is that the Celtics had three first-round picks last year coming after Hero. They had 15, and were they three in the first? I had it before me just now,
yeah.
But they had three picks. I thought they were first-rounders. After Hero, so
they
Hero,
select Ty Buell, and they traded him to the 76ers. So.
So Hero wasn't on the board when they were picking, but they had ammo to move up. They had only had to go one spot, two if you want to say Miami's not going to trade you the pick yet. Just get a, you had to leapfrog two spots, call it.
But we know
they had the ammo to do it. Go ahead.
But Danny Ainge loved this kid. They worked him out. He wouldn't shut the hell up about him pre-draft. They wanted Tyler Hero. He wanted Tyler Hero more than any other player in that first round in the range that they could go to. So if you want a player that bad, Danny Ainge, package up these useless draft picks and then just move up a spot. But no, what ended up happening is that you hung on to those worthless picks and now you can have the greatest G League team ever in the Maine Red Claws. And your hated rival, Pat Riley, heard you yapping and yapping and yapping, Tyler Hero, Tyler Hero, Tyler Hero, and they won the coin flip, so they got to have the pick ahead of them. But he took him. He almost spitefully took him. The kid obviously has talent, but he took him ahead of him. If you wanted him that bad, you would have moved up and taken him. And you didn't, and now you got egg in your face as the kid lights you up for almost 40 points last night.
I have a bigger issue with the deadline than I do with Hero. Because again, in the draft, who the hell knows? I mean, someone's, you know...
Danny's supposed to know.
I mean, No. I'm not talking about the fact that... I'm saying maybe they wanted him and they just couldn't get out. I have no idea.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on, wait a minute.
But wait, no. The other thing is... It is so because they have Tyler Hero, that's why the Celtics are playing the way they're playing?
Well, just go back to, okay, first of all, the way Danny Ainge is treated around here, it's like...
GM for life.
I mean, so if it's that obvious, and Tyler Hero is that obvious, and they loved him that much, they were sitting, Maz, at 14, 20, and 21. And yes, Tabouli went to
Philadelphia.
The Sixers, who's still better than anything that you got, right? Like, I mean, you passed on two guys if you want to play it that way. But if you're sitting at 14, 20, and 22, that never mind all the first rounders you got stashed up in effing Maine, you've got ammo to get up to 12, 11, 10 if you want to just to take Tyler Hero.
Sure.
I mean, that's a legit second guess.
Yeah, listen, again, but I sort of put that in a separate category. If, you know, I did not look at this series and say Tyler Hero's going to do them in. I didn't look at it that way. I look at the series and say, is Tyler Hero the reason? Is that what it is?
One of them.
Or is it that they don't have the nerve to play down the stretch? And my gripe with Ainge is the trade deadline.
Well, I mean,
the trade deadline.
I think it's legit. Go ahead.
Like that was the point. Like, I look at that and say, you know, so here, don't get me wrong. I'd love for them to have a Hero. Yes, yes, yes. Everything you're saying, yes. No two ways about it. But they should still be playing better in this series than they are. Like, I look at that and say, how is it that kid, 20 years old, looks like he doesn't have a concern in the world, and their guys can't pass?
So, twofold. One is, Tyler Hero does have balls. Like, it's not, he's fearless.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And it's just the way he's played. And that's not just a series. He was that way against the Bucks. And so I really engaged on the Heat. That's the way he plays. He's a freaking gunner. He's not afraid. And he goes. And but the other component is this. It doesn't feel like there's any muckiness there in Miami where, well, why is he getting those shots and why is he featured? Where am I? Like, do you think Duncan Robinson or Goran Dragic care one bit, or Jay Crowder care one bit, that it's Tyler Hero's night and they give it up to him? Or they go back into the locker room and chuck chairs at each other because you're taking the shots and I'm not? We need to share the ball. Like, no, it's your night. Go.
I mean, how many times did Dragic go over and hug that kid during that game last night?
Yeah, a fully functional team that, you know, doesn't have these underlying things that you have. So that's still on the board. And that, you know, the people who thought, well, they, you know, they cleared the air after that locker room thing after game two. Please.
What a crook.
You can't clear it after, you know, if it's festering and that's the way it is, 36 hours ain't going to do it. And 3 days ain't going to do it. And it obviously didn't do it. Because, you know, so like Miami's, they're just more functional, where Dragic can go off or Robinson can get all those shots. The other one's not going to complain. It's not going to be like, whose team is it? Maybe that's because Jimmy Butler doesn't care. He just wants to win. And it's like that whole tone is set. I think that's important.
Mentally oh, there's no question it is. Yeah, there's no question it is.
It's a different level of dedication with that team compared to the Celtics in this series. It is. I mean, they look different every night. If one guy isn't going, well, then feed the guy who is. They're tough. They got scoring. Think about it.
Let's just say Danny Ainge did do the right thing and just go get the guy that he liked in Tyler Hero. You don't think if Tyler Hero wanted to go off and do his thing, you don't think that he goes in the locker room and Tatum and Brown are looking at him like, yo, man, it's not your team. And Marcus Smart is like, well, where are my shots? And never mind Brad playing his son, you know, Gordon Hayward, all those things from last year. Like,
yeah.
Could they?
Don't forget to pass the ball, rookie.
Could the babies on this team handle Tyler Hero?
Probably
no.
Not.
Doesn't
no.
feel like they could to me. They can handle each other.
I mean, so that's the part of it that I look at and say, I don't know, where's the nerve? Like, and you know, there's obviously a hierarchical, I don't even know if that's a word, a hierarchy problem on the team because it's unclear. Like that question in the interview where they said, I think Rich Schertenlieb asked Hange, you know, Paul Pierce was your closer. He was your proven playoff closer. Who's your closer now? And Ainge said, well, I think...
Well, hold on. Jimmy, why don't we just play that right now? I don't remember what number it is. Stand by.
Do you think this team has a definitive playoff closer?
Stop.
That's a
there's
long
your answer.
Pause.
That's in real time. That's not cut. That I mean, there's your answer.
Yep, that's right.
Okay,
so the answer is no.
There's your answer. He's formulating how to say that we don't really have one, but we do. And listen to the... Listen, we'll translate his actual answer. Go ahead, Jimmy.
I think that Jason Tatum is as close as we have in that.
Stop. So, no.
Right, as close as we have.
Okay, so, no. But he doesn't say no, but he says, well, Jason Tatum's as close as we have, which means we don't have it. Continue.
Right now.
Is that good enough? Is that good enough, in your opinion?
Stop.
I think it is good.
That pause again.
Again, right, he knows.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I think it is good enough, yes, because he doesn't have to do everything all by himself. Like, he doesn't have to. He can. Jason is right before our eyes becoming a terrific passer. He's growing like Paul grew in his career, where sometimes you think you have to shoot every shot, and sometimes it's best to give the ball up to your teammates and trust them. And I think Jason is growing right before our eyes at making those decisions.
Okay, so do you have a closer? Long pause. Is Jason is Jason Tatum it? He's as close as we have, and why?
I think that Jason Tatum is as close as we have in that.
And then he says, so why is that? Well, because he doesn't have to do it by himself, and he's becoming a better passer. He just told you like four different ways that he's not.
There's no definitive answer there at all.
They don't have it.
But their closer is becoming a closer because of the way he passes, and he knows as the other guys can do it too. That's just a definition of not being the, you know.
They don't have it. They don't have it. This is part of the problem, is that there isn't a clear guy there at the top. And then that leads to all kinds of other issues that are clearly in play. Some of those passes last night. Oh, my God. I looked at, how could you possibly think that pass was going to work?
If they don't win this series, is it a fail? Okay, so we're just about there. And who do you blame? Your calls right after this.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Complaining.
Oh, you had a mean boss. Aw.
It's just Felger.
No. It's always no.
Felger, Mass. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Now out of bio, shot clock winding down. Hands off to Hero. Straightaway three is good. What a night for Tyler Hero.
He's coming off these picks, and you just can't get to him. You got to switch that.
Butler against Kemba. Backs him down to the mid-block. Butler shovels for the trailer, scooping it up and in, of course, is Tyler Hero. 35 for Tyler Hero, and the Heat take the Celtics' best punches in the second half, and they're going to take a 3-1 lead in the Eastern Conference Finals.
And this is a smart play. Back your man in, and everybody went to sleep. Hero comes in, lays it up softly. No rim protector.
He was the guy that we liked. I'm sure many teams liked, but yeah, I don't think anybody saw that he was going to be this good.
That's Ainge on Hero. He didn't really want to talk about their interest in him this morning with Touch and Rich. Again, catch the full interview online.
Well, after last night, how can you? And I'm sorry that how he wrapped that up. That answer is a
cop out.
Cop out.
So, but that's the only thing that he would say. We interested him. A lot of teams that interested him, but no one thought he'd be this good. Oh, that is what a cop out that is.
Boy, a kid can play.
I mean, what do you want me to do? Not even Miami thought he was that good. Oh, come on. They like the player. They got him before you did. They get the credit. You get the fail. If you loved him so much, it didn't take much to move up. 1-2 spots, you could have done it, and you didn't. And why? And it feels very in keeping with how Danny's managed this the last several years. They hoard those effing picks.
So stupid.
They hoard them.
This kid's going to haunt them.
How many picks have they made? How many picks have they refused to trade to move up or a deadline deal? They hoard those picks. The end of your bench and main is stuffed. Stuffed like a sausage with mid to late first round picks who will never do anything. It's like they hoard them. And so, boy, I'm sorry, that's a miss. If they liked him so much, why don't you have a little bit of aggressiveness and put him on the team? But in the same breath, I'd say, I don't know if the players on this team would allow Tyler Hero to do what Miami allows him to do, which is it's your night, kid, go do it.
Not the way they're playing right now, the way they're constructed right now. No way.
There's too many egos and kids, and they can't figure out amongst themselves. Tyler Hero, we're here on this team. They being the players, would bury him. They wouldn't let him have a night like last night.
That's on the coach, too. I mean, he's got to make sure that Gordon Hayward gets his minutes, and, you know, where would they use him? Like, it probably wouldn't work here. It's just frustrating to watch him go off last night for 37 points. He's just, you know, draining three after three after three, one from, like, midcourt at a crucial time, and you could have had him.
Oh, he was lethal.
He's going to haunt them. That kid's going to haunt them for years.
Your phones. Joel in the car. Go.
I knew the game was over right when Tatum misses a layup and Robert Williams basically bails him out. Like, this whole game was just like a crap show. Like, you mean to tell me none of the starting five can neutralize Hero? I bet Hayward is thinking in his head right now, like, man, I stay for this? I don't know.
Is there a Brad Stevens thought there about letting Tyler Hero get as many opportunities as he did?
I mean, maybe. Although, again, the Celtics switch, and it feels to me like Miami kind of hunts Walker. You know, early on it was Dragic, got Walker, and Dragic scored. Now it's, you know, now Walker's on Hero, and Hero's scoring. So it feels to me like Miami, you know, and this is a credit to Miami, right? That this is the part you're talking about. They're not, there's no ego there. So they say, whoever's got Walker is the guy who's going to score. That's where we're going to go. So last night it was Hero on Walker, and he picked him apart. He shoots right over him.
Corey in Burlington, hi.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to hear your guys' opinion on, you know, with the hype going into the bubbles this summer between the Celtics and the Bruins, you know, Celtics go down 4-1 to the Heat on Friday night. Which team is the bigger failure in your opinion?
Oh, Celtics easily.
bigger failure, which is different than saying who's a worse team. The Bruins are a worse team.
Okay. I mean, the Bruins are going to lose to best team in the league.
Bruins are going to lose to the best team in the league. And they didn't go down with any glory or any pride, you know.
The path was set for the Celtics. Once Milwaukee went down, you had no reason to not make the NBA final.
The way you all treat this team. Okay, so just use your expectations on the team, which I don't think are that, and I was in line with you. You're the most talented team in the East. If Giannis and the Bucks are out of it, you know, then that's a different sort of argument. But, I mean, Joe Murray asked a question brilliantly to Danny Ainge this morning. LeBron's gone. Kawhi's gone. Giannis is out. Durant's hurt. And you're not going to go to the NBA Finals? After all this hype with you guys and this team and these high draft picks and Tatum's the next and this and that and your coach is this and that, you're going to have no LeBron, no Kawhi, Giannis is gone, Durant's hurt, and you're not going to make the finals? That's a fail.
And in five games.
That's a fail. Or, you know, Maz, you can just say it. Everyone has vastly overrated the Celtics. It's one of those things. It's either a fail or you vastly overrated it. And I'm going to go with it's a fail on their part, not a fail on my part. I'm blaming them, not me. Derek in Providence. Go ahead, Derek. What do you got?
How manly of you.
What's happening, guys? Yeah, it's unfortunate what's going on with this team right now. But I think what it is they're showing their age. You know, they're not ready yet. They don't have that championship pedigree yet. And I don't think the coach does either. He's 0-3 now in the conference finals, and he has a losing playoff record, you know? So I think Danny needs to open his eyes and realize a change needs to happen.
Thanks, just the opposite. Oh, no. It's a Supreme Court. It's a Supreme Court nomination.
Pointed for life.
For life. Brad Stevens and Danny Ainge has got it for life. I mean, just full investment in these guys. And I'm not telling you to fire them either. But there really is no pressure on the coach or the GM. No pressure on the coach from the GM or the owner. And no pressure on the GM from you fans. And it's just sort of, it's that happy Celtics experience that I think works against them in this. That where they could both use a little bit of, you know, urgency. Stevens isn't going anywhere. And again, Maz, how much do you really put on him?
Oh, I don't put that much on the coach at all. Again, I'm just this is my overall sentiment about the league. I just think it's a player's league. It's all about the players executing on the floor at the end of the game. And I'm not telling you there aren't little coaching tweaks here and there, but they're not reinventing the wheel out there. And it's a pretty old, simple game when you get right down to it. And the fact of the matter is, like, do you think Brad Stevens really is telling Gordon Hayward to pass the ball to Andre Iguodala?
I think the players aren't ready more than the coach isn't ready, if you want to say that.
I mean, so now the thing with managing the egos, last year Stevens with Kyrie, like, was Stevens ready for that? No way, not in a million years.
I don't think he's done that good of a job with it this year either.
So it feels that way. I mean, it's certainly, because I think he's got this idea that it's going to be, as we say, old hickory, and, you know, everybody's going to get their shots and we play as a team, which is great. It'll get you to this point right here, and then it doesn't work anymore.
Here's Gino in Weymouth. He's up next with Felger and Maz. Hi, Gino.
How are we doing, guys? So I put the blame 50-50 on the players and the coach. The players, because they are playing sloppy, they're not playing defense, they're not playing with aggression or any urgency, and they think that they're better than they are. And right now they're a bunch of divas, and that's how they're performing right now.
Okay.
I put 50% on Brad Stevens because he's not a man who, when he walks into the locker room, like Greg Popovich or Bill Belichick, they command respect. And with that many egos in your locker room, without those people all getting in fights and shoving each other, you need somebody with a firm hand. And Brad Stevens is just a mellow kind of guy. He knows his X's and O's. But
so
he's
I'm just going to stop you. I don't know if it's a firm hand, but it's somehow getting those kids to figure it out and buy in or get along or something along those lines. It doesn't, you know, Phil Jackson wasn't a firm hand. He was a Zen master, and he was able to do it with the egos on his team. It's not apples to apples, but, you know, work with me. Whatever it is, whether it's a super soft approach or it's a Zen approach or it's a heavy hand, whatever, I think it's a huge issue on the team that, you know, there's still this sort of infighting or jockeying for whose team it is. On the floor, off the floor, what's Marcus Smart's role in that? I think it's just sort of a huge thing that's in the middle of them, you know, reaching their ceiling. And the coach has not helped him find that place. I mean, that's just a fact. And you know, when you think about it last night, Maz, both teams had their heads in the clouds. It was weird.
It was bad. The first half was awful.
So, like, there was something about that three-day layoff and the bubble that affected everybody. And so, like, that's...
I also think it might have to do with the Breonna Taylor verdict. I really do believe that. I mean, considering...
Okay, so maybe. But my point is, Miami could kind of afford to have that affect them.
It's sure, like, yeah, they're up 2-1.
They're up 2-1, and so human nature being what it is, whether it's the layoff or Breonna Taylor or whatever was at work there, you could see Miami lapsing into it before the Celtics because Miami has some wiggle room. There's really no excuse for the Celtics not to be balls to the wall.
No, none. None. My only gripe with what the caller said, too, because this obviously relates to Stevens. Can we stop comparing him to Popovich and Belichick? Those guys have 11 titles between them.
Why? People talk about him like he should be.
Okay, so that's fair. That's fair. Like, but I don't. You know, I don't.
Irrational people do.
I just think that's asinine. Popovich commands respect because he has 5 titles.
I mean, listen, there was a
couple. Because he has 5 titles.
A couple years ago, Maz and I said that we would trade Brad Stevens. Did we say for a second round pick or at least a first?
I might have said a second.
I think it was a second.
Okay. I thought it was a first. But we said we would trade Brad Stevens for a high draft pick, and the owner came in here and said that was the stupidest thing he'd ever heard. Remember that?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Celtics fans, would you trade Brad Stevens today for a good draft pick?
I mean, so this is sort of, I'm just trying to be consistent.
If they traded Brad Stevens for Tyler Hero, would you do that deal?
In a minute.
Yes.
Okay, so.
In a minute.
Again, just not to go back and scratch our own back, but the coach in that league is a side piece. But he's still on the table. More game thoughts last night and series thoughts after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger Mass.
Okay, when you call and say 2 things, 3 things, you're going to have to wait for me to reach for a pen.
Number one.
And then I'm going to have to write it down.
Because they know how to build winning relationships.
I, for one, am not smart enough to keep 2 or 3 things in my head.
Felger Mass.
So we prefer just a single thought.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Pete going with the same action with Bam and Jimmy Butler, the high screen and roll action. Butler doubled. Adebayo, pass inside. Iguodala, back out. Dragic, he's wide open. Got it! Goran Dragic from downtown. Coach, how about the pass by Iguodala?
And the pass by Adebayo to Iguodala. Great touch pass sequence.
Just great offense. Unselfish playmaking ability. Extra pass, turning out a good shot for a better one. Dragic knocks down the long ball.
I play that one because that possession said a lot to me. Both, you know, Miami, great ball movement, and their offense in the key moments is more functional than yours in the key moments. I think that's another thing that's, you know, become clear, that they still run more plays or the ball still moves more in those big situations than you do. But go back and watch it because it also still tells me the problems on the Celtics. So this was the play where Dragic had all day to shoot in the corner for a 3, and he hit it. Made it a 7-point game with 1:36 left. And this came off the action with Tyler Hero up top with the ball, and then Adebayo was at the free throw line, as they like to do, okay? And so the Celtics are selling out on Hero, and then Adebayo gets the ball up top, and I think Brown sort of crashes on him. He finds Iguodala underneath the basket, who kicks it out to Dragic, and no one runs to the three-point line. If you go back and watch it, it wasn't a NBC game, so we can't run the video on the simulcast, but go back and watch it. Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown watch the ball get kicked back out to Dragic in the corner. And Dragic hesitates just a second, like, is someone going to run out at me? And Brown and Smart stand there and look at him, except Smart claps at Brown, like, go get him. And Brown just stands there. And it's like, ooh, they're still clapping at each other. And they both sort of quit on the play. But Marcus's default was to sort of get on Brown.
Yeah.
To get on Brown.
Because I've been here the longest. I'm the leader. Listen to me, Jaylen Brown.
So just go watch it. It's like it was, you know, it was a great play by Miami, but also it's in one little defensive trip, you saw the Celtics, A, give up, and B, just the little fissures there that still exist on that team.
Again, and no matter what it is, like, I couldn't tell you whose rotation that's supposed to be. Okay, so I have no idea. Even so. So you're like,
neither did, except they pointed fingers.
Well, so that's the part that should bug you, right? And that's the part that should really, like, you look at it and you're going to be kidding me. Miami, to me, is borderline surgical in some of those spots. Like the way they moved the ball, and this was evident early in the series, I thought Miami got better as that game went along last night, particularly in the key times, and the Celtics got worse. I don't know how you fix that in one game, in one night. It's basically what they have.
What else stood out to you in the game? I mean, I found it amazing. Like, you know, I guess I want to give you credit because you did hang in there. I mean, you got some breaks that went your way that are like, you know, nine lives. Like, you just wouldn't die in that game. The refs helped you, or just the nature of the rules helped you. Like that, you know, the foul on Butler that was reviewed.
Right.
That could have easily been offensive on Tatum, or at least off his knee in Miami's ball, because the way the rule reads and the way they're supposed to do it is that becomes a jump ball, which should be fine for the Heat because it's Adebayo and you have your small lineup on there. So there's no other center for him to jump against. He would easily win that tap, except he broke his wrist or something. I don't know what I'm exaggerating that. He hurt himself and he couldn't jump. So you win the tip. Then you freaking, I think on that very next possession, I think it was Tatum that just rifled this three-point shot that went off the back of the backboard. Now, nowhere close.
Bad miss.
But it ricocheted off Hero's hand and out of bounds, and you got the out of bounds.
Right. They initially they thought it went off of Jaylen Brown. Remember that?
Yes. And so they looked at that. You won that review. And then you come out of that timeout, and then you hit a three. I can't remember who. And that, like, that kept you in that thing. And you, once again, are inbounding the ball underneath your basket down three with a miracle chance to tie it. And it's like, boy, you know, I don't know. That just stood out. That's not even, that's not judging anything. It was incredible how that game wouldn't end.
Oh, listen, again, it was, first of all, the large majority of it was excruciating to watch. They did catch a couple of breaks. But the one thing that is happening consistently in this series is in crunch time, the Celtics are shooting themselves in the foot and Miami isn't.
Yeah, so, right. And so this is something that stood out, like, through that whole sequence, okay? So then they had to inbound the ball and shoot free throws. And then Kemba Walker comes down the floor, and Jimmy Butler stupidly fouls him going up for a three. Okay, they originally called it on the floor, then they gave him the three. And so there were these sequences where the Heat were either up two, up three, up two, and they had to inbounds the ball and make their free throws. And every time.
That was such a sell job by Walker, too.
They, of course. But every time they got the ball in and they made their free throws. And I've seen a lot of teams crumble in that situation.
Well, given their tightness, too. I mean, good for them for hitting them.
So, yes, that's what
right,
I'm saying.
Exactly, Murray.
That's what I'm saying. Miami, you know, Miami came.
No, they persevered. Yeah, they got through it.
They didn't miss a free throw until the very last time Butler went to the line. And that's still what left, you know, the door ajar just with that 1.1 seconds left. But the Celtics made it hard on the inbound. You know, one of them, they had to loop it all the way over cross court for Jimmy Butler to, you know, sort of catch an over-the-shoulder ball. But every time, there were about three different times there where they had to inbound the ball and make their free throws, and they did it every time. And, oh, by the way, the biggest shocker is that Marcus Smart didn't hit the deck on any of them because I'm shouting at the TV. It's like, he's going down. Watch out. He's going down. He's going to try and draw a foul before the ball gets inbounded. Watch it. He's going down. He's going down. And he didn't even go down in any of those.
The only time I thought I started to see Miami crack is when Butler went after that ball with the one hand and Tatum took it from him.
And that led to the foul that was reviewed, and that led to the whole sequence. That's what led to that. That was incredibly sloppy at midcourt.
My gosh, like, that was the only time. But other than that, I just think that they are airtight pretty much, and the Celtics aren't. I mean, I can't say this enough. Some of those passes. What?
The one-off, was it? It was Smart off of Hayward's knee or the other way around?
Yeah, it was Smart off of Hayward's knee.
Smart chucks it off his shin. The Hayward pass to Iguodala. There was one more.
They rattle way too easily. It's so infuriating.
There was one. I just want to mention it. God, there was another turnover that was just Tatum had that travel right there in the heat of the battle. Right there in one of those last couple possessions, he traveled. There was got seven turnovers in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, brutal.
I mean,
19 for the game. And look, there were some bad shots in there, too, even when they didn't turn it over. There was a three that Smart took when I went, you got to.
Oh, yeah, there was like no time off the play clock either. He just went down and was just chuck away.
Like, you got to be kidding me. That's the best shot you can get? That's the shot? So I just think, again, they come unglued. Last night, it felt to me like was worse than the others in some ways. Now, in the other games, they had leads, so it felt worse. But I think in terms of the actual quality of the play, that last night, in a lot of ways, was the worst one. I mean, just the decision-making. They don't think straight. Really, it's unbelievable. And, Mike, again, Miami went on a little run. The Celtics were down seven. Halfway through the fourth quarter, Stevens took Walker off the floor. He put Daniel Tice in the game because he was so worried about their inability to play defense on that end and get a stop. He took Walker out. Like, so it got to that point where it's just like they're either running around and not being where they're supposed to be, or Walker's a mismatch and they don't like it and they feel he's getting abused, or Miami's exposing it and just milking it for every single thing it's worth. But you know what? When Tice is on there, it feels like it's the same thing.
You're getting embarrassed. Back to your thoughts in a long commercial-free segment after this.
It's Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Mazz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
By and large, we don't remember the last segment.
Felger and Mazz.
I mean, I don't remember what I said last segment. I don't remember what I said 60 seconds ago.
Felger and Mazz.
We don't remember who we are or what we said last week.
Yeah, but Felger, I'm the highlight of your show.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
We're a way better team than we played last night. That is not who I know this team to be. And I'm very confident that our guys are going to come out in a completely different mindset. I think they're not happy of how they played last night individually and collectively. And I think we'll have a better, much better game in game five. And I don't think this team is done yet.
Why do you scoff, Murray?
Well, what's he supposed to say? I mean, come on, I declared this thing over after game two and the whole meltdown in the locker room. Yeah, they bounced back in game three and see, you guys are making too much of it. No, they were front-running in that game. They were never challenged. Challenged again last night, and they lose. So whether it's Friday or Sunday night, they ain't winning this series.
It's over.
It's over.
It's over. Jamal and Worcester, back to your phones. Hi.
How you doing?
Good, Jamal. What do you got?
First time, long time. Yeah, I'm just I'm wondering if you guys think that any other GM in this town would have a job still with the way this guy's going. And another comment, I don't see these guys as a team. You said most talented team in the East. They might have the most talented players, but, I mean, between the second chances, I think it was like four in a row, the sloppy turnovers, the fight in the locker room, these guys can't put it together.
Right.
You know, I don't think they have the hunger or the heart.
It's true. If you can't put it together, what's the diff? It's true. I agree with that statement. Would any other GM in this town still have his job? Yeah, Harry Sinden.
Well, they all suck right now anyway.
Well, who went 38 years without winning a cup but had a job for almost life. So it's like that. Danny Ainge has got his one. It's just, I'm not firing Danny Ainge because he's good. I mean, I think he knows who can play and who can't play. I mean, he's very good at his job. And so, like, I'd be scared for the alternative because there's so many bad GMs, right? I mean, there's very few guys that you even trust in that league. But for crying out loud, I mean, the fans could put a little more pressure on him than they do.
I mean, look, again, to me, the deadline's the one I go back to. I look at the deadline, I say, this team clearly needed some sort of upgrade. How many? I mean, they played six guys last night. Obviously, Hayward's now back, and they played Tice. That's it. No one else was really out there for any length of time. You could use another body.
Meanwhile, they have all these picks, Maz, all these things, all this fodder on their on their roster.
It's fair. It's
and
fair.
In Maine and on their draft board. It's like they just keep making these picks and these picks. And it's not like the cupboard's bare. They have nothing to trade. They don't have those premium lottery picks like they did at one stage, but they have all that, all the rest. They have all these, lay around first round picks that I guess have value in that league. And he just doesn't want to deal them. And that is a fair second guess. Because clearly the rim protection thing, the matchup in the middle, like they don't know what they're doing there. Like, again, with the rotation. So Cantor had good success in game three.
Right.
Now, last night, they're back to Robert Williams kind of out of nowhere.
I know, right.
Because he had been a DNP CD for at least one of those games, if not both. Like
He didn't play in game three.
I felt like Robert Williams had been supplanted by both Cantor and Grant Williams. And then the first thing off the bench last night was him and, of course, Wanamaker, but
who I thought sucked last night. Miami, but anyway, it's
But also, I mean, this was both teams, too, because Miami put on a fella that looked like he had just stuck his finger in an electric socket. Like, who was that guy? You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. He looked like ODB from Wu-Tang.
He'd been around for a while. He was a little unkempt, his hair.
That's Solomon Hill?
Yeah, that guy. Yeah. So it's like, I didn't get the rotations on either side, but you know what I mean? His hair was sort of real.
And Belichick, it's like they slept in the same room.
But your center thing is all out of sorts. It's all out of sorts. You know, you think Tice is good enough, but he's just not. And then is it Robert Williams who you're going to give the time to develop into that next thing? Or is it Cantor who gives you good offense but just sucks on the other end? In one game, it's Cantor and it works and you win. The next game, it's Robert Williams who hasn't played in two games. It's like, what?
So that's where it goes back to the deadline, and maybe they really should have made a play for someone like Clint Capella or someone like that.
Well, so that was a second guess, right? That's the one that Scalabrine was talking about. They just don't have a guy that gives you anything really at both ends. They're limited. They better hope that Robert Williams can play because they have a hole there.
Tom in Londonderry, go.
I'll start by saying, Maz, I called you a couple weeks ago and called you an idiot and you know nothing about basketball. Well, the shoe's on the other foot, I'll be a mensch. I was wrong, you were right. The Miami Heat have been completely, unbelievably well, a well-rounded team, and the emphasis here is on team. I can't believe I bought into the Celtics hype, but it looks good for the future, but they're still too young, they're still too immature, and you can see it in little moments in the game like Felger pointed out at the beginning of the last segment. I don't really, though, blame them, because right now, you look at teams in the past that have been this young, raw, you look at the early Bulls teams, the early Celtics teams, Lakers, and Detroit's of the great eras, and when they were young and raw, they had an authority figure, whether it was a coach or it was Michael Jordan or Magic Johnson. They had somebody to say, guys, this is how we need to play. Stop, you know, bleeping around here. We need to grow up here. The Celtics don't have that. The coach is certainly not going to do that. And unfortunately, you look at teams like Miami, who are you look at what Miami has in Pat Riley and their owner. He's that guy from Miami. It trickles down to Spoelstra and the rest of the organization. Wick is just – Wick and Danny, I like them, and I like what they've built over the last 10 years. Believe me, I'm not, you know, hating on them. But they're too comfortable. They're too soft about everything. There's too much positivity. It's either you guys get better or you're going to be the Atlanta Falcons of the 2020s, or you're going to get into the playoffs.
Tom, I'm going to stop you there. I agree. It's too happy of an experience. You're too good. And there's got to be a little more edge put into the whole experience. And so, like, I don't think Danny Ainge should be fired. I don't think Brad Stevens should be fired. But if they heard it a little bit more, or if the owner heard it a little bit more, like, you know, there's just we treat that team differently than the others. And I think they need a little bit of urgency. But that's just a really big picture thing. The thing about, you know, being young and finding that guy or developing that mentality – for every Bulls and Pistons and an example you give me, I could probably give you six or seven others that never figured it out, that had all that young talent and looked like they were the next thing and just never found that mix. And you've got to hope you're not one of those teams.
Correct.
You know, because that's there's a real possibility of that.
I mean, you know, I keep saying this. They need some sort of veteran with credibility to come in there as somebody who has won. It's got to be someone who has hardware that the other guys will look at and go, I'm going to listen to this guy. You know, and I'm trying to, you know, I'm speaking just in general here, but like a Tim Duncan at the end of his career, you know what I mean? Someone like that.
Well, until these guys get to the place where winning a championship is the single most important thing, I don't know if it matters. It's like, this is a really loose, weird analogy, but it's like an alcoholic that doesn't want to admit he has a problem. It doesn't matter what you tell him. You know what I mean? And I think this happens to too many young NBA players. Their number one priority for the vast majority of young NBA players is their brand. Their brand. And can they attach it to a shoe deal or a merchandise deal and the Twitter following and the social media presence? The brand. It's become a huge thing for these guys. And too many of them think that that is independent of titles. And they'd rather have their brand than the title. That's the priority. And I don't know. Who knows with the guys on the Celtics? But I don't know if the burning desire is to win a title. Jaylen Brown already acts like he's won seven.
Well, so that's another thing, too. And again, not to go back down this road, but part of me wonders if this dose of humility isn't necessarily, you know, is partly good.
Until these guys realize that nothing matters until you win a title, and that's the number one thing and their number one priority, I don't know if anyone's, I don't know if they can be reached.
I mean, who are they going to blame now? There's no Kyrie here anymore. There's no Al Horford here anymore. There's no injuries to speak of to blame. Who are they going to blame?
More on Stevens and Ainge after Big Jim Murray's 90-second update here. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.